Welcome to Virtual General Counsel Podcast with Brian A. Hall. Today I want to answer the question, is your company sellable? This is a question that I advise clients on all the time, whether it's as they start, as they're growing, or as they're scaling and really thinking about a potential merger or acquisition. But before I get into that, let's talk about what I sort of view as the two kinds of companies that exist. The first is what I call a lifestyle business. And what a lifestyle business is, it's typically a company that's founded by a small number of people and operated over time without an eye toward selling or being acquired. They like monthly recurring and ultimately annual recurring revenue and take pride in the business and controlling its growth, service to customers, and the like. Lifestyle businesses may ultimately be acquired and may ultimately be the subject of purchases and sales, but more often than not, it is the founder's goal and the founder's intent to maintain a quality of life, and therefore a lifestyle business fits that bill. The other kind of business is what I will call a sellable business. And that's a business that's started with the ultimate goal of growing to a point that they could be acquired. I meet clients every day that decide to start businesses recognizing who the potential purchasers might be. On the other side of the coin, I work with clients every day who are out there with a voracious appetite to purchase businesses that can help them grow, whether it's a roll-up strategy, whether it's to acquire a company for purposes of a new product or service offering, whether it's what some like to call an acqui-hire or the acquisition really in order to acquire the services of the individuals, typically the founders or the C-level executives. Whatever it might be, knowing whether or not you are a sellable business is critically important. And I get asked the question from clients all the time, how do I know if I'm a sellable business? And what I typically respond with is by asking, well, do you want to sell? And if the answer is ultimately a yes, or even a maybe, and if somebody came along and offered me gobs of money, I'd be willing to sell, then you should act as if you're a sellable business. So then really what we want to talk about today is what does that mean and how do you position yourself to be a sellable business? And there's a couple trains of thought there. Some are that you simply operate your business, consistent with best practices and recognize that in the event of a potential purchase that you will have to go through the standard process of mergers and acquisitions and ultimately get to that sale. The other train of thought is one that I want to focus on, which is essentially you work backwards from what it looks like when it comes time to sell. And what I mean by that is when it comes time for a sale, due diligence occurs. And as part of that due diligence, you're working towards either a stock purchase agreement or an asset purchase agreement. And any corporate attorney will tell you that there are reference lists and general checklists that are reviewed, collecting documents, collecting information, and going through those in order to have the seller be in a position to sell, and probably more accurately, having the purchaser have comfortability with the status of the seller so as to consummate the transaction. So some companies go as far as to, as they are founded and as they operate, to be mindful of that due diligence checklist, to have folders set up that contain the documents in a structure that would be needed as part of any due diligence. Now, as an outside general counsel and having worked with countless companies, both in a secondment role in-house and also through the years as outside counsel, I can tell you that that's a lofty goal. And as business grows and as the pace of things increases, the discipline necessary to maintain those folder structures and all that goes with it is a difficult one. However, you should at least be mindful of what I will say are some of the most important items to be thinking about and to be paying attention to as your business grows, so that when you get to that point and I ask the question, are you sellable? You can answer with confidence, yes. So I won't focus on the financial statements and you know the recurring revenue and sales type of information and even the market information. All of that is what it is. What I will focus on are the legal aspects of a business. And of course, when we're talking about, you know, customers, you want to make sure that you have proper customer agreements in place. Same goes for vendors. Same goes for distributors. Whatever it might be, I will bulk it into what I call your contracts. Making sure that your contracts have the kind of language that make you sellable or make you more friendly towards a sale. Those can be things like making sure that in an arrangement with an independent contractor, you have work for hire language that ensures that you own any and all intellectual property or work product created by that independent contractor. Doing that at the outset avoids, during the due diligence process, going and having to potentially get permission via an assignment in writing from those individuals, which, as you can imagine, if you're operating your business for years and years and years, that may be tens of people, if not hundreds or more people. The other thing that I always think about and look at when it comes time to review the contracts is making sure that those contracts are assignable. Meaning that if you are to be purchased, that you can assign, for example, a critical customer agreement to the purchaser without requiring written permission from that customer. Sometimes a customer is insistent on there being prior notice and written permission, but you at least want to be mindful of that as you negotiate the agreement with an eye towards being sellable. Another big one that comes up besides contracts and all that goes with those contracts is your intellectual property. And when I'm talking about intellectual property, I'm talking about trademarks, patents, copyrights, trade secrets, even things like domain names and social media accounts and anything that would be an intellectual or digital asset. Making sure that you're aware of what your list of digital assets is the first step. And oftentimes it's referred to as a schedule. So you might have a schedule of, let's say, five trademarks, and it lists where they're filed and pending, where they're registered, in connection with what goods or services, when they're due for renewal, have they been maintained, have there been any issues related to these? Have you policed your marks via monitoring? Have you enforced your rights where necessary via cease and desist letters or, unfortunately, sometimes through a court of law and litigation? Those kinds of items will undoubtedly be part of the due diligence checklist that you go through. And just to be clear, when I'm talking about the due diligence checklist, it's not simply something that's done to pass the time. The reason for it is it gives the purchaser insight into the risks associated with your business. And at the end of the day, you as a seller need to make representations and warranties in that asset purchase agreement or stock purchase agreement relating to these kinds of things. So you need to have an understanding of what your universe, so to speak, looks like. So again, intellectual property for trademarks, a trademark schedule for patents, the same kind of thing for copyrights, the same kind of thing. All those become critically important. And I alluded to it before, how in an independent contractor agreement, making sure there's work for hire language and other proper assignments of your intellectual property. The same extends to non-disclosure agreements, non-competition agreements, whatever it might be to maintain the confidentiality of, for example, trade secrets of your business or the secret sauce, the underlying know-how or negative know-how sometimes that separates you from your competitors and makes you an attractive purchase option. Obviously, you get into things beyond contracts and intellectual property, like people, HR, employees. What do those employment agreements look like? What are some of the items that you want to be mindful of when you're reviewing that to make sure that your key employees are providing you the comfort you need in order to provide the purchaser the comfort they need if they're going to be buying your company. At the end of the day, we can go on and on into other things like IT, making sure that data privacy is taken care of, that you're in compliance with things depending upon where you're operating. For example, if you're US-based only, or if you have consumers in the EU, does that mean you need to comply with GDPR? The answer is most likely yes. And what does that mean? What are your privacy policies? What are your online terms of use? What are your copyright policies? All those kinds of things come up as part of the due diligence process. So knowing at the outset, if I bring this all the way back around, what you need to have in place and the way that you want to have it in place in order to make you more attractive as a purchase option is really the whole point of the exercise. So what I would ultimately recommend is educating yourself, be it as the founder, as the C-level executive, or quite frankly, as somebody that simply is operating a business and wants to know more in anticipation of a potential merger or acquisition of all of these kinds of items. And as you continue to review them, you'll get a better understanding of where there might be gaps that could be addressed now to make you ultimately more sellable, or where you can quote unquote check that box and show on the due diligence checklist that you're already in good shape. So I hope that's been helpful as you think about whether your company is sellable. Again, there's resources that you can go to find due diligence checklists online. You can talk to corporate attorneys and others related to this. And as you dig deeper, you'll see that due diligence encompasses mostly things beyond just general practice. And you get into intellectual property, labor and employment, tax, whatever it might be. But either way, know that this is Brian Hall, your virtual general counsel, helping you navigate and determine whether your company is sellable.